Past Mortem by Ben Elton. Read by Ben Miles. The victim died as he had lived, cruelly.
Good riddance, they muttered all up and down his street. Dying's too good for the bastard.
The dead man's name was Adam Bishop, and before an unknown hand had stripped him naked, taped him to his bed, and inflicted upon him the many hundred skewered wounds from which his life had flowed, he had been a 55-year-old builder. A self-made and wealthy man, married with 6 children, all of whom, like most people, were terrified of him. Adam Bishop had the appearance of a man the wary might cross the street to avoid. His had been an eye that sensible people endeavoured never to meet. Now his eyes were closed, glued shut by a bloodied yellow crust, which had matted the lashes of the upper and lower lids together. Later, on a mortician's slab, when those lids were prized open, it would be discovered that the killer had used his skewer repeatedly on the victim's eyeballs. The last thing that Adam Bishop saw on earth was the face of his tormentor in the process of blinding him. Detective Inspector Newson held a handkerchief to his nose and struggled to contain the tide of nausea that he felt welling up inside his stomach. He was very conscious that Detective Sergeant Wilkie was also present at the murder scene. She was a very attractive woman, or so Inspector Newson thought, and although he harboured no false hope that she could ever be his, he still did not wish to vomit in her company. Newson was 34 years old, and already a detective inspector, but at 5 feet and 4 inches, he was not just short for a copper, he was short for anyone. He was also pale and freckly. A ginger, in fact. He was pleased to see that the forensic pathologist in attendance was Alice Clark, a woman with whom he was well acquainted. He smiled at her, and then peered at the purple and black cadaver.
Nasty, he said. When do you think he died?
Between 6 and 9 hours ago, I'd say, early to mid-morning, Dr. Clark replied.
This man bled a lot.
The mattress on which the corpse lay had been sodden. Strange to lose so much blood from such small wounds, Newson observed.
Yes, I thought that. There seems to have been very little coagulation. Perhaps he was a haemophiliac, Sergeant Wilkie suggested.
The doctor pointed to a small shaving nick on the dead man's chin. That cut was healing perfectly normally. He wasn't a haemophiliac. It's almost as if the killer used some form of anticoagulant.
Ouch, Newson grimaced.
You think he kept the wounds open, deliberately bleeding this man to death?
Yes, over a considerable number of hours.
Newson removed his handkerchief from his nose and sniffed the air. Scattered on the carpet were half a dozen or so bottles which had contained what used to be known as smelling salts.
So our killer quite deliberately kept his victim awake while he killed him?
Yes, Adam Bishop was forced to remain conscious as he was bled to death. Dr. Clark delivered her autopsy report at the case conference the following afternoon.
What's that? Newson asked, referring to a photographic printout of the victim's mouth, from which a long orange ribbon of some kind had been carefully teased.
Toilet paper. The killer stuffed it in his mouth. But the really fascinating development is that I was right about the killer keeping the wounds open. He used a compound derived from snake venom which prevents the blood congealing. Our suspect dipped his spike in it prior to insertion.
So he, or she, wanted Bishop to bleed to death?
Well, yes, but if that was all he wanted, he could have simply taken a penknife and opened an artery. It seems to me that the killer wanted Bishop to die directly from damage inflicted by the particular spike he was using. I think he wanted Bishop to die slowly from as many cuts as possible, and so he deliberately avoided running the risk of delivering a knockout blow.
And this weapon, which was clearly so special to the perpetrator, what do we know about it?
It was a short, thin skewer, exactly 5 centimetres long, mounted in a metal handle of some sort, the shoulders of which were approximately 4 millimetres across.
And the killer? Newson asked.
What do the wounds he inflicted tell us about him, or her?
Well, he's a thorough sort of person, isn't he? Those pricks were not made by somebody who was either careless or in a hurry. He's a cool customer, too. After all, he was in that house for many hours. He must have understood that he could have been disturbed at any time.
Do
Do you think that the victim had allowed himself to be restrained? There are certainly no signs of a struggle. What about the toilet paper?
All I can tell you, said Dr. Clark, is that the paper was mainly still dry and also in goodish condition when I retrieved it from the victim's throat. Therefore, I am confident that it was pushed into Bishop's mouth after he died.